Now, what happens when a society has no leaders or government? What normally happens, you reckon? Anarchy? Anyone here been in an anarchist situation before? I know some of you, or perhaps people you're related to, who came from East Timor. Often in a war situation, isn't it? Things break down. So there would have been a period of time of anarchy in East Timor, which leads to the refugee problem. Now, another good example of anarchy, or near anarchy, is the Cultural Revolution, which took place in China from 1966 to around 1976. As stated by Chairman Mao, the goal of the Cultural Revolution was to preserve true communist ideology in China by purging remnants of capitalist and traditional thinking from Chinese society. Maoist thought was advocated as the dominant ideology within the Communist Party. It began in 1966 after Chairman Mao alleged that bourgeois capitalist elements had infiltrated the government and society, and those elements were to be removed through class struggle. Lots of young people responded to Mao's appeal by forming Red Guard groups, and the movement spread, resulting in chaos in many parts within China. There was a mass purge of senior officials, and it's said that millions of people were persecuted or caught up in the struggle, which often flared up into violence. There's evidence of people being publicly humiliated or losing employment, being arbitrarily imprisoned or tortured, or their property being seized without any valid reason. It was a chaotic period of time in China's history. When anarchy reigns, there's little sense of the rule of law, and it often becomes the situation of every man for himself. Or following Ezekiel 34, perhaps we should say every sheep for itself. When strong, godly leadership is lacking in society, society itself starts to break down. Now, when God looked out upon his flock, the people of Israel, he didn't see a happy group of sheep. What he saw was injustice. In verses 17 to 22 of Ezekiel 34, God engages himself to judge his flock. He's seen the injustice there, and he's going to do something about it. He's going to judge between one sheep and another, and between the rams and the male goats. He's going to judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Basically, those that are causing trouble within that flock are going to be dealt with. And in these verses, we're also told why God is going to do that. Because when he looked out upon his people Israel, when he looked out upon his flock, even though the sheep had good pasture to feed on, the greedy sheep had trampled the rest of the pasture under their feet. And even though they had clear water to drink, the greedy sheep had dirtied the water with their feet. The result of that was that instead of each sheep getting its fair share of good pasture to feed on, instead of each sheep getting its share of clear water to drink, the flock as a whole had to graze upon trampled pasture and drink muddied water. What we can see through this is that God doesn't like it when, out of greed or a lack of pastoral care between the sheep, when some of his people miss out. In verse 21, we can see that some of the sheep, the fat ones, they've literally been throwing their weight around. They've been using their sides or their shoulders to push the weaker sheep around. They've even gored the weak sheep with their horns, with the result that the weak sheep have been scattered abroad. We can see here that when strong and godly leadership is lacking, the strong sheep mistreat the weak sheep, leading to division and dispersal. And it's sad to see that happening in the history of the people of Israel. But friends, things turned out the way they did for Israel for a reason. In the light of the bigger picture, it's actually there, it actually happened, in order that we, the human race, looking upon the situation of Israel, might be able to learn the lessons of what happens to society and God's people when there's lousy leadership. But what is God going to do about this terrible situation for his people? This situation of injustice and the lack of godly leadership? Well, concerning the sheep who have been scattered, verse 22 tells us that God will rescue his flock. He'll come to protect his sheep, and they'll no longer be spoil for their enemies to plunder. And concerning the problem of the fat sheep mistreating the weak sheep, well, God's also going to bring down judgment against those who have mistreated their fellow sheep. He's going to deal with the fatties. Now, God knows how people treat each other. He can see how the sheep have been interacting, and he will judge all forms of injustice within personal relationships. And friends, this is one of the functions of the Day of Judgment. Now, I'm sure there's probably a lot of you here in this congregation who have been mistreated before. Perhaps you've been treated unjustly or abused. Well, keep in mind that even if you don't get justice, either from the civil authorities here on earth or even from God in this world in your lifetime, there will be a day yet to come, when all the wrongs that you have suffered will be made right. God will call those who have been unjust to give an account for their actions. And friends, that also applies to us if we haven't treated others fairly or truthfully. What we can see here is that God engages himself. He promises here that one day he will deal with the bad shepherds of this world and also the bad sheep. But that still leaves a leadership vacuum, doesn't it? What precisely is God going to do about the problem of ungodly leadership? Well, we're given a clear answer to this question in verses 23 and 24. God's plan is to appoint one shepherd to be the shepherd over his people. And the word translated as appoint in verse 23 there is very interesting. It literally means to cause to stand or to raise. And there are times in the Old Testament where this word seems to hint at resurrection. And I think seeing an oblique reference to resurrection here in verse 23 is very possible. Note how the shepherd to be appointed or raised up by God is God's servant David. You see the picture here? A raised up Davidic ruler appointed by God to be the shepherd of God's people. Verse 23 uses the word shepherd four times. It's stressing the fact that this appointed Davidic ruler will definitely be the shepherd of God's people. He will provide the leadership that God's people need. In fact, he will provide the leadership that this world needs. This ruler will lead God's people, he'll protect God's people, and he'll provide for God's people. In verse 24, this Davidic shepherd is spoken of as being a prince among God's people. In fact, Yahweh the Lord is going to establish his rule as God over the world through the shepherd rule of the Davidic prince. That's what's being prophesied here. But who is the David that these verses are talking about? Now, it's interesting that King David, the king who ruled Israel some 3,000 years ago, originally worked as a shepherd before becoming a general in the army of King Saul. Significantly, he was also born in Bethlehem. Are the bells of Christmas starting to ring in your ears at this moment in time? All of this surely is enough for us to see the person who is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Born in Bethlehem, of the line of David, raised up and appointed to be the shepherd of God's people. Over 500 years after this prophecy was given, Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem of the Davidic line, Jesus came along claiming to be the good shepherd. Can you see the connections here? Now, friends, it's easy for us sometimes to wonder what's happening to this world. When bad things happen, we often think, well, where is the direction? It just seems to be anarchy all around us. And sometimes we individually can feel that when we have been mistreated. Now, it's easy when that happens for us to start to wonder, why, Lord? Why is this happening? And even at times perhaps to blame God. But please keep in mind the bigger picture. Instead of blaming God, or perhaps criticizing the leaders that we have over us, we need to recognize what God's plan is to bring us the leadership that we truly need in this world. The leadership that this world needs, the leadership that we individually need, is the leadership that is found in the person of Jesus. That's what the Bible tells us. And friends, there are at least three things that make Jesus the ultimate leader. Firstly, he himself is perfect. Being God, his relationship with God is as solid as it can be. Secondly, being resurrected, he will never die. And that is important because his eternal life after his resurrection assures the eternal continuation of his kingdom. One of the problems we see in the Old Testament is even if there's a good leader over God's people, when they die, everything seems to revert back to the default situation of bad leadership. Well, that's not going to happen to Jesus' kingdom, because the king of that kingdom lives forever. And thirdly, another amazing thing about Jesus as leader is he has the power to change human hearts. Now just think about that. Can Malcolm Turnbull actually change your heart? Can Donald Trump make the American people truly great within their hearts? Well, no. No human leader can do that. But Jesus can. Why? Well, one of the deals that happened between God the Son and God the Father was when God the Son came into the world in obedience to the Father, giving up his life on the cross and being resurrected from the grave, ascending into heaven and seated at the throne of Messiah, one of the deals was that after the Messiah had done all of that, he would receive the right to control God's Holy Spirit. In other words, he would determine where God's Spirit would go to change the hearts of people. That means that Jesus is in control of the work of the Holy Spirit on earth. Now just think about that. That's a power that Jesus has that no human leader has ever had or will ever have. Control over the Holy Spirit. That means that Jesus can send his Spirit to change your heart. He can send his Spirit to change the hearts of people that you think might never ever change. And because he has the power to change human hearts, this assures one day the complete moral transformation of the citizens of God's kingdom. So, according to God's plan, instead of anarchy, there's going to be theocracy. There's going to be Christocracy. There's going to be the rule of God as applied through his appointed Davidic prince. the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And as a result, God's people will live in God's world under God's rule with God's shepherd to lead, protect, and to provide for them. Do you get the bigger picture here of what God is doing to solve the problem of lousy leadership? Whenever it feels like your world is total anarchy, make sure you remember God's plan for world leadership. God's kingdom revealed to us in Jesus. He is the King of God's eternal kingdom.